Hello, welcome to The Sound of Economics with Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. My name is Sean Gibson, I'm the press officer here at Bruegel, and I'm here to present another episode of the Deep Focus podcast series, which, as our regular listeners will recall, is where we have a conversation with Bruegel scholars about their research and what policy conclusions we can draw from it. Joining me remotely for this one is Bruegel fellow Dirk Schoenmaker. Hello, Dirk.
Hello, Sean.
Thank you for joining me. You've produced a Bruegel working paper looking at the possibility of greening monetary policy and how that process might look in Europe. So if we might begin by discussing how monetary policy really relates to climate concerns, and if you might be able to give us a picture of how things stand currently and the nature of the problem in the current approach.
Yes, so in the monetary policy operations, central bank provides financing to banks. They give money to banks. In exchange, they take assets or they take collateral as underlying security. And when they take assets and collateral, they not only take government bonds, but also corporate bonds and bonds of banks. And what they try to do is to be very neutral in the market. So that's what you call market neutrality. And then they just buy a proportion of the market. As it happens, the more carbon-intensive companies also tend to be more capital-intensive. Like if you're running a big oil company or a utility or a big car company, you need more financing of your production goods than if you're just running as a consultant an office and that kind of thing. So under a market neutral approach, the central bank tends to have a capital intensive, so carbon intensive assets in their portfolio. So they have a carbon bias.
Yes. So I wondered then if you could outline the alternative that you envisage in this report, in this paper.
Yeah, so I want to remain within the realm of monetary policy. And monetary policy tries to be active in the whole market. So they don't want to favor particular parts of the market. So they want to have a market-broad approach. But I'm proposing is, okay, if we have a carbon bias, can we then not tilt our portfolio towards low carbon and tilting approach? And the idea is very simple. Mm-hmm. So we can measure the carbon intensity of companies. Just take the emissions divided by sales. So you have the carbon intensity of all your corporate bonds.
Yes.
Which you buy as assets or you take them as collateral. And then you say, okay, let's buy a bit more of the low carbon, let's say 50% more, and let's buy a little bit less, 50% less of the high carbon. So I still buy in total the same, but I tilt my portfolio towards low carbon. And in that sense, I avoid the carbon bias which central banks have today in their portfolio.
So what kind of... This all sounds like it makes a good sense. I mean, what kind of policy restraints might there be in terms of current existing treaties, agreements, and the bounds within the euro system that currently exist on this change that you envisage?
Yeah. So in the treaty, in the treaties on European Union and on the function of European Union, we have all the legal mandate of the European Central Bank and the euro system, and they are very clear. And that's good news. So they give as primary objective price stability, and then a secondary objective to support the general policies of the European Union. And then it's important that they only support the secondary policies if they are not countering, not interfering with price stability. in the technical terms is called without prejudice. So, for example, between employment and full employment and price stability, there is sometimes a trade-off. So the central bank gives a preference, a priority to price stability. So the normal habit is to ignore the secondary objectives, but there is no need to. So I checked the treaties. I looked whether I could see any trade-off between climate policy, so between a low carbon bias, and price stability. So I couldn't find any real trade-offs. So I would say, yes, we stick with price stability, but there is no problem in running this climate policy. And then, of course, the ECB should not set their own policy, because that is for the European Council, the European Commission, the European Parliament. They have already for 10 years very clear climate and energy policies aimed at reducing carbon emissions. So that's all in place. And my argument would only be consistent with standing policy of the European Union. The ECB would then is allowed to do that. And then, and that's extremely important, the ECB is fully independent. So the ECB should make its own judgment whether they can adopt a low carbon bias without interfering with price stability. I think it is possible, but the ECB takes their own decision. And if they will do it, then the ECB would support then the EU policy. So instead of a carbon bias, they would help accelerating the transition to the low carbon economy. And as we all know, that is now the top priority of the European Union, of the individual countries. Corporates are very busy on it. And my request is, can the ECB consider this as well, just as any other actor in the economic system, that you contribute to this transition to a low carbon economy? And to my judgment, the treaty allows it.
So you've touched on this being the way the wind is blowing, so to speak, in terms of policy and climate concern. What possibly do you feel will be the obstacles to having greener monetary policy, or what possible opposition would you anticipate to this alteration in monetary policy?
So you ask, why is the ECB not yet, or the euro system not yet doing it? It is a bit like any field. For example, a few years ago, we had a discussion with accountants. If companies report on sustainability, whether it is human rights or carbon emissions, use of raw materials, water usage, can auditors check these numbers and provide assurance? And the initial discussion was, oh, we are auditors, we are only trained in financial numbers. And I think it is now well accepted if companies provide this important non-financial information, then auditors have now found ways also to provide assurance and to check them. And pension funds, when they do investments, they now also do sustainable investment. And basically, the central banks are quite keen on their price stability, and I fully support them on that. And the independence works very well. So they have an extremely good track record. But I argue that I don't see any problem, I don't see any interference with that good track record, if they, in addition, just at the lower level where they operate, where they do their operations, so not in the policy side, but on the operations, when they take collateral or when they buy assets in the market, that they just apply this tilting approach. And on purpose, I argue about tilting, because I don't want that the ECB would favor certain sectors or certain projects, because then it will become very political. So if they follow a general approach, there's no need to have discussions whether this company is all right or that is not wrong. You just take carbon intensity as an objective factor.
You've rightly touched upon the fact that you don't see why there might be any cause to fear interference with monetary policy's main priority from having a greener approach. What might specifically be the gains that you're expecting? You touch on some specific figures in your paper. I just wondered if you could maybe elaborate on that.
Yeah, and now it gets interesting for economists, because then we can talk about an equilibrium. So if central banks buy less high carbon and more low carbon, they more or less improve the liquidity of low carbon companies. And then if the liquidity of the corporate bonds increase, then the cost of capital goes down. And so the financing cost for low carbon goes down. For high carbon, it goes up. And in that way, if the difference is big enough, then it may pay off for high carbon companies to reform, to also to get a lower financing cost. And I found empirical evidence that this difference may go up to 4 basis points with my 50% more low and 50% less high carbon. That sounds very small, but in credit spread, in financing terms, it still makes a difference. And in that sense, we provide lower financing costs for low carbon companies. And we give an incentive for high carbon companies to reform their technology towards low carbon technologies.
Well, I think that about brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Deep Focus, and thank you Dirk for taking us through this research paper of yours. If you'd like to hear more of Bruegel's work, we do have a range of other podcast episodes and all of our publications and blog posts as well, available on our website at www.bruegel.org. We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.